Good evening. The question was asked, should one do genetic testing before marrying someone? So this is a broad question that breaks down into a few components. Firstly, you have to know that there's almost no limit to how much testing you can do. If you want to do genetic tests, so there are a few labs across the world that will actually test hundreds of things for you. Here in Israel and in much of Europe, if you want to do such extensive genetic testing, it takes at least 6 months. There's one lab in Europe that will actually process the tests. I had a friend who was considering doing such extensive testing, and he went to a genetic consultation, and they told him, just be aware in advance that every person has 5 genetic problems on average. The only thing is, there are so many genetic problems out there that statistically we don't overlap, and that's why most people don't have genetic diseases in their children. Not because we're all perfect. We all have problems. That's important to know. The average person, he was told, has 5 genetic deficiencies that could cause mutations and who knows what and all kinds of diseases. But the world lives on, right? What we don't know don't hurt us. So so it's just a basis for our information that when we ask this question, we have to realize that there's a broad spectrum of tests. When you say genetic testing, well, what are we talking about? So the second point to be discussed is hishtadlut. How much effort does a person have to take? So you have a guy who says, I want to make sure I'm not having a heart attack, so I should attach myself to a monitor all the time. Let me make sure, just in case. You have a guy that says, I want to make sure I don't get infection when I fly in a plane, so I'm going to take antibiotics. Because, you know, you're breathing the same air all the time. So maybe I should be on antibiotics. People decide for themselves sometimes all kinds of concerns. You see people who show up to the supermarket with disposable gloves because they don't want to handle the same wagon that who knows who else handled, and you might be getting people's germs, right? So we would all recommend washing your hands when you come home from public places. You were on a bus, you touched the straps of the bus as you held on, you touched money, you should wash your hands. The halacha recommends you shouldn't put money in your mouth. This is already discussed 2,000 years ago in halacha, that money can be dangerous and the person should not put money in their mouth. There can be germs on the money. That's in the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya. So there are certain things that we do to ensure we don't get ill. It says that under certain circumstances we stay away from someone that's ill if we think they're contagious. People don't have to die, you know, someone's dying, so if they're very contagious, then you have a question, how do you treat that person? How do you help that person? Because you don't want to die doing it, right? So there are definitely angles of discussion in terms of how much hishtadlut, how much does a person have to make attempts to retain their health and their life in this world. And again, the question here is, where are the limitations? Where do you draw the line? So we generally say that the line is drawn by what society considers normal. So long as society is normal, this works. If you move to some kind of finicky society where the norm is different, then you should ask your own question. But generally, we assume that there's a norm. There's a norm. People put on seatbelts. So you put on seatbelts because it makes sense to put on seatbelts. Happens to be that Rav Soloveitchik, so I heard from Rav Schachter, that Rav Soloveitchik was extra careful with his health. And so Rav Soloveitchik, every time he felt slightly ill, he'd right away check out what was going on. And because of that, he once had I think it was a tumor, that he caught very early on because he right away felt something was a little bit off. So he didn't wait to see what it evolved into. He ran and checked, and it turned out they caught something very early and it saved his life. Okay. Should every person run every time they have a sneeze or a cough or a little cold? They're going to run to the doctor and check things out. So there's a range of hishtadlut, and within that range, the halacha also gives us a certain amount of room for our own personality, how uptight you are. But there is a range, meaning there does come a point where when a person invests more effort than is normal, what a person is saying is, God, you stay out of it, I'm in control. And that's an incorrect declaration. Meaning there is a level where if a person invests so much effort to take care that they're going to be healthy and everything will be okay, there is a red line that when a person crosses that, what he's basically saying is, I'm the boss, I'm in charge, I'm going to make sure that everything works out right, which is wrong. Which is wrong. We should not approach life with this attitude that we can control everything. We have to recognize that there's a range which is our responsibility to do due diligence. That's what we call hishtadlut. There's an element of due diligence that a person must do. A person shouldn't drive when they're tired and they might fall asleep at the wheel. A person shouldn't drink and drive. A person should wear a seatbelt. A person shouldn't talk on the cell phone when they're driving. There are many things that a person should be careful with, which is due diligence. It's part of being a careful person. If modern medicine recommends that you get a flu shot, then it's recommended to get a flu shot. We wouldn't say you're a sinner if you don't. We would say there are recommendations of modern medicine. Why don't you do them? If modern medicine recommends doing ultrasounds periodically, so why wouldn't you do it? And the same is true now as we shift to genetic testing. So the question here becomes, how prevalent is something that we have to be concerned about it? And this is a discussion amongst the halachic authorities. Which diseases are prevalent enough that one should be concerned and test for them? And it depends to some degree on what family one is from. Is one Ashkenazi, where Tay-Sachs and a few other genetic diseases are more prevalent? Or is one Sephardi or Yemenite or a different source of the origin of their family? And then they don't have to be worried about those problems. Depending on where one's family comes from, one should consult with their halachic authority. There is a small amount of testing which is discussed, and there are organizations like Dor Yesharim, which exist in Jewish communities throughout the world, in Israel, in the United States, and in other countries, where they will do testing for a person to find out if they are compatible with the spouse. Now, the way they do it is very nice. They don't tell you if you're a carrier. What they do is they give you a number. The way Dor Yesharim works is a person goes to them and gets a blood test, and then he gets a code, and he appears on their computer. So he gets a number. Let's say his number is 109876. Okay? He's dating a girl. She goes to Dor Yesharim. She also gets tested. And then she gets a number. Let's say her number is 201980. So if the two of them want to date, then they call in. They get one another's numbers. They call into Dor Yesharim. And they say, are these two numbers compatible? And Dor Yesharim will tell them either yes or no. And then they don't have to know what they're a carrier of. They don't have to worry, oh, I'm a carrier of A or B or C. They could always just find out. I'm not saying I recommend Dor Yesharim. I'm not saying anyone should or shouldn't do it. I'm not going there. Every person will ask their own halachic authority that they consult with whether it's recommended or not. But the discussion revolves around those genetic deficiencies which are prevalent in a specific community. We don't just say, hey, let's go check everything under the sun. Because then the things don't end. And no one does that. And it doesn't make sense to do that. There's a level of ishtadlut that does not make sense. Should one do Dor Yesharim? I leave that for every person to ask their own rabbi. But at least we got a background to the question, yes? It's clear? Okay.